All right, City Council will come back to order. Yes.
Well.
Yeah, you bet. That was great.
Yeah, dude.
If you could find a seat and sit in it, we're about to come back from recess and consider. We are going to be considering item number 8.3A. Carla, could you please read the title? It's a resolution, item number 8.3A.
Accept recommendations for a social equity contracting strategy to increase minority-owned, women-owned, and emerging small business utilization in city contracting.
In the Portland Plan, when we talk about being a prosperous, educated, healthy, and equitable city, the equity is infused into the first three of those goals. First among equals is giving every Portlander an equitable access to economic security. Government exists to serve the people, and city government exists to not only serve the people, but to also serve as an example. And so the work that has been underway constitutes actions that were initiated before the creation of the Office of Equity, but have definitely been infused by the early work of the Office of Equity since it's been up and running. It also is the result of court cases. If you don't know the Croson decision and the required Croson disparity study, that is the law of the land as it pertains to government procurement, well, your life might be better in some ways, but it also is necessary to know of those court cases in order to fashion here in city government and in other governments legal processes for seeking equality in opportunity with city contracting programs. Our disparity study, as it is commonly known, was completed under the leadership of Commissioner Nick Fish and a group of citizen advisors. These are very complex legal studies, and the results of which help to shape and in some case dictate what we can and cannot do in terms of tools that we can and cannot employ to bring equity of opportunity in our procurement process. So today you're going to hear about our proposal for moving forward under the staff leadership of Procurement Director Christine Moody and a group of public and private partners have come forward with some changes and reforms to how the city does business. As we focus on contracting, though, we are also going to be looking at the early results of an initiative, an equity initiative, that was put forward by Commissioner Randy Leonard, known as the Minority Evaluator Program Report. And we're going to be hearing from folks in the Office of Management and Finance on that. And then we're also going to hear about the high road results from the Clean Energy Works Program, which is a nonprofit that was created by the Portland City Council. So there is some significant changes in what we're going to be having in front of us to my colleagues on the City Council. There are two reports, again, one on the Minority Evaluator Program and one on Clean Energy Works. And we're also going to hear from Work Systems, Inc. On another partner that we have that focuses workforce efforts on the underemployed, the unemployed, and youth. So with that, I'm very pleased to introduce Director Christine Moody from the Bureau of Procurement.
Thank you, Mayor.
I'm not sure it's on.
Yeah. you go.
Thank you, Mayor.
Good afternoon. Christine Moody. I'm the Chief Procurement Officer here at the City of Portland. I'm very happy to be here before you today. This has been...
It went off again.
There you go. You can pull it closer to yourself.
I think you might have to get used to sitting in the middle again.
We just rewired.
How about that?
There we go.
Better? Okay. Okay, so I'm very happy to be here before you today. This has been a long process, as the mayor stated, starting with the disparity study in 2009, getting here before you with the recommendations. So with that, I will start on the background. And on June 22, 2011, City Council adopted Resolution 36868, directing the Procurement Services Division to work with the Fair Contracting Forum and city bureaus to review the guidance provided by the 2009 Disparity Study and bring forward recommendations that will expand and strengthen the city's equity contracting programs. As way of background, Portland City Council created the Fair Contracting Forum to support and promote accountable, transparent, fair, effective, and efficient contracting practices. The Fair Contracting Forum meets on a regular basis and over the years has touched on many topics pertinent to the contracting community. Last August, Mayor Adams kicked off a disparity study implementation project that brought together various community stakeholders, including contractors, consultants, members of the Fair Contracting Forum, Awami, NAMCO, Columbia Pacific Building Trades Council, NUCA, Native American Chamber, AGC, and others, to form work groups that would focus on the five programmatic areas of workforce training and hiring, good faith efforts, pre-qualification, a new prime contractor development program, and professional, technical, and expert services. The proposal that is being presented today for the five program areas are reflective of the recommendations from these community work groups. In total, there were 85 participants and over 40 meetings held over the last 10 months. In addition, the resolution called for expanded and improved outreach. We have conducted 7 outreach events, reaching over 200 consultants and contractors, and have included over 35 bureau representatives and 5 general contractors. The new focus of these types of events are to learn about specific projects, giving a chance for businesses to connect with the city project managers and ask direct questions about scopes of work. Small businesses are also able to network with larger general contractors to seek out partnering and subcontracting opportunities. In working with the bureaus, there has been a concerted effort into keeping the construction and PTE forecast calendars up to date, and as a result of the expanded outreach, both calendars have been averaging over 7,000 views per month. Through the Bureau Liaison Group, Procurement Services has been working with the construction bureaus on identifying projects early on that may lend themselves to a CMGC process that will allow for the city to negotiate an MWSB subcontracting plan. For example, working with facilities in the Fire Bureau, the Fire Station 21 project was identified as a good candidate for the CMGC during the design stage and has been written into the contract with the design firm. The RFP for the CMGC is currently out on the street with proposals due July 25th. One of the recommendations is the business equity performance recognition in a way to recognize city contractors based upon past performance on city contracts in the areas of minority, women, subcontractor utilization, and minority and women workforce percentages. Information will be collected at the end of each project as a type of report card. Contractors will be ranked, and there will be awards given out annually for top performers. The city will establish a 27% aspirational goal on city-funded construction projects for apprentices and journey-level workers, 18% minority and 9% female. These goals will be reviewed on an annual basis. This is in addition to the existing 20% apprenticeship goal the city already has as part of the original program. Contractors will be required to submit a workforce plan on projects $200,000 and over, This will include how the contractor plans to achieve the workforce diversity goals and any assistance that may be needed from the city, union, or open shop apprenticeship programs or pre-apprenticeship programs. As I mentioned a minute ago, we will implement a post-project contractor report. The final report will include MWESB subcontracting utilization, apprenticeship percentages, minority workforce participation, female workforce participation, and a project performance review from the city construction manager. An inclusion plan for utilization of MWESB certified firms will be used with low bid construction solicitations based upon MWESB marketplace availability. Marketplace availability will be calculated by the city on each project before a bid is issued, with a targeted goal for MWESB subcontracting. Working with the Office of Equity and Human Rights and the city bureaus, internal criteria and a review process will be established for construction projects in order to foster greater opportunities for small businesses by unbundling projects or using an alternative contracting method like a CMGC.
If I could interrupt you, there, one of the frustrations with sort of the federal requirements in the Croson disparity study is it doesn't require governments to establish expanding the number of firms that are available. I mean, it doesn't measure that. So part of what you and I have talked about as well is to continue to feed the to continue to track the lack of availability and to have our efforts also, and this is a key part of this when contracts come up and we do not find firms available to bid on the work, to even bid on the work, that our efforts around growing the number or in some cases getting new contractors up and running in some of the areas that we currently don't have available contracts is going to be part of this effort as well.
The city's pre-qualification process has been identified as a barrier for doing business with the city, and as a result, changes to the pre-qualification program will center around consistent evaluation criteria by all construction bureaus and justifiable evaluation and review throughout the city. Currently, the city asks contractors to renew their pre-qualification annually. We will be moving to a biannual review and renewal. The pre-qualification application is now simpler and web-based and can be submitted electronically. And there will be an increase of the general pre-qualification limits to $250,000 from the current $100,000, therefore allowing contractors to bid on projects up to $250,000 without going through the pre-qualification process. With the economic downturn and less construction over the past years, it was recommended by the community work group that the city broaden the project experience within the last 10 years. There will not be an automatic reduction in the contractor's bidding limits unless there are documented performance issues and a contractor's bonding has been reduced. This change would need to be approved by the Chief Procurement Officer and the City Attorney. Specific project special prequalification will be required to be evaluated and approved by the Chief Procurement Officer before being applied to any project. Lastly, with the passage of this resolution, we will move forward with city code changes for pre-qualification approval by City Council.
Can you also talk about the expanded eligibility of state pre-qualification as also being accepted as city pre-qualification?
What we're working with is the coordination with the bureaus and coordinating with the state Oregon Department of Transportation about their qualifications and how they look at pre-qualification and if that transfers over to at least our transportation projects.
Right. So we have great confidence that the pre-qualification at the state level on transportation projects, having dug into it in the last couple of months, that those will indeed serve as pre-qualification for city transportation projects.
As of October 2011, the Sheltered Market Program is no longer in existence. There will be a new prime contractor development program. This program will consist of four tiers with construction projects up to $1 million. The new program will be for those contractors that hold a State of Oregon MBE, WB, ESB certification and are licensed and are willing to commit to work as a prime contractor in the areas of sewer construction, water construction, street improvements, or building alteration and building construction. Contractors also must be able to provide the necessary financial statements to a third-party consultant and be found financially solvent to be admitted into the program. Realizing that access to capital can be a barrier for minority and women-owned businesses, we will collaborate with our partners to provide guidance and information to contractors about funding and financial assistance available to them. Program applicants will be evaluated by a selection committee that will include community representatives and city staff. And in addition, the city will also evaluate and determine that the certified firm performs a commercially useful function. In Tier 1, contractors will compete for projects up to $150,000. The city will provide project-specific technical assistance, basic training on standard specifications, scheduling, contract closeout, bidding, and estimating assistance. Tier 1 will be limited to certified firms that have gross annual receipts of $1.7 million or less a year. In Tier 2, contractors will compete on projects between $150,000 and $350,000. As part of Tier 2, participants will be required to complete a 10-month business development course. The business development course is connected to Portland State University and will include coursework in the areas of business demographics, job creation, revenue, financing, government contracts, new customers, marketing, and community involvement. In Tiers 3 and 4, contractors will compete on targeted projects from $350,000 to $1 million. These program tiers are intended to roll out in 2 years in order to allow for program participants to develop business skills and move through Tiers 1 and Tiers 2 of the program. Working with the Office of Equity and Human Rights, we will establish mechanisms to track the success of minority and women program participants, set performance goals for MBE and WBE participation, and metrics for program performance. The formal dollar threshold for PTE RFPs is currently at $23,662. Increasing the dollar threshold to $100,000 will allow for targeting of contracts to certified MWESB firms through the informal solicitation process. Increasing the dollar threshold for direct contracts with MWESB firms will allow Bureau project managers to contract directly with these firms. This simplified procurement process will encourage the use of certified firms and will allow for negotiation of project approach and cost. Contract awards will be reviewed periodically to assure that work is being distributed equitably. The work group identified some challenges with the city's current RFP language, stating that it's not clear to proposing firms, the aspirational goal favors ESBs, and scoring mechanisms are unclear to evaluators. An aspirational goal will be included for MBE, WBE, and ESB firms, and the RFP language will be adjusted to break out the criteria into subcategories, making it clearer for proposing firms on what is being asked for in their response. We will also provide a clearer scoring guideline to proposers and selection committee members. An online directory of certified firms will be created to assist Bureau project managers in finding certified firms. The directory will provide more detail about a firm's experience, expertise that can be found on the State of Oregon certification website, making it easier for project managers to establish direct contracts and solicit responses to informal RFPs. On December 16, 2009, City Council adopted Resolution 36757 that requires inclusion of at least one minority evaluator on all evaluation panels that review and award city contracts that are not based on lowest bid. This applies to all formal RFPs. The goals of the program are to engage diverse members of the community into the City of Portland's evaluation and contractor selection process, provide transparency, and build relationships between city bureaus, business partners, and the community. The city partnered with the Alliance of Minority Chambers to develop outreach efforts, create a website and database and internal and external training sessions. To date, people of color have participated on 250 RFP selection panels, and the database includes over 370 minority evaluators. Although the intent of the program is to create transparency for city processes, we have found that it has provided businesses with a more comprehensive understanding of how proposals are written and submitted, and some additional insight into the city's evaluation process. As you can see from the Exhibit A report, the benefit has been increased participation on city PTE contracts from MWESB firms. In fiscal year 11-12, the city had 15.12% MWESB prime consultants and 80.74% in subconsulting. Comparing this to data from before the program was implemented, there is over a 5% increase in prime contracts and a 38% increase in subcontracts. Over the next few years, we will continue to work on additional recommendations for this study. I'll turn it over to council if you have any questions, and we also have members of the community here to testify.
If I could, we'll have Christine stick around, but if council wouldn't mind having folks come up, because they will also fill in additional information before we have questions and answers. So if I could have, where's my group of folks? Jeremy, if you could come up and talk about Oregon Clean Energy Works, and who else? Come on up. Somebody took my notes. WSI, please come up. Thank you.
Hi. My name's Jeremy Hayes. I'm the board chair for Clean Energy Works Oregon. For my day job, I work for a national nonprofit called Green for All, which is dedicated to building a green economy strong enough
to get people out of poverty. Jorge here. Excuse me.
No worries.
Jorge, come on up. Please continue.
Thank you. So thanks for having us in to present. I just want to give you some background on a truly extraordinary project that I think is advancing equity in the regional economy and is serving as a national model for how to advance equity within public-private partnerships, economic development initiatives, and sustainability initiatives. I think the city has a lot to be proud of in Clean Energy Works Oregon. This program started, as you recall, as Clean Energy Works Portland, a citywide pilot that has since expanded into a statewide effort run by a nonprofit, which you all set up and chartered. The purpose of Clean Energy Works Oregon is to bring together contractors and workers, homeowners, lenders to advance home energy upgrades, make homes more energy efficient and comfortable. Since the beginning of this project, Clean Energy Works, both is a city pilot, Clean Energy Works Portland, and as a statewide entity, has facilitated the energy upgrade in over 1,800 homes across the state. We've gotten paychecks to 800 workers, and 56% of the hours that have been performed on Clean Energy Works jobs have been performed by women and people of color. 17% of all of the dollars that have flowed through Clean Energy Works have gone to minority and women-owned firms. We work with about a few dozen prime contractors and a number of subcontractors to deliver these home energy upgrades across the state. These outcomes are really impressive for a couple of reasons. I mean, we started this work at the city, started this project, and got together with community members and said, we want to make sure that as we do this energy upgrade program, we have equitable impacts on the regional economy, and that we're inclusive in who gets business opportunities and who gets jobs coming off of this. And one of the first things we did is look around and say, well, how many contractors are out there that could do this work that are certified minority women-owned subcontractors? And across the state, there was one contractor. And so we had our work cut out for us as we set an ambitious goal of having 20% of all the contract dollars in this project flow to historically underutilized firms like that. So we've been able to make really impressive progress. And in my regular job, I work with programs across the country. And I can tell you there are 41 cities and states across the country that have divvied up about $500 million in energy efficiency block grants from the Department of Energy, which is some of the money that we're using at Clean Energy Works Oregon. Clean Energy Works Oregon, this project that you all started, far and away is the national leader in delivering a comprehensive and focused equity strategy to the use of these dollars across the country. So it's really impressive, and I just want to wrap up by saying two things that we've learned in the course of this work that may be useful as you go forward with the equity contracting strategy for the city at large. The first one was we got to work very closely with our community advocates. You know, we passed a policy that said we have goals to achieve these high road outcomes. We think we know some strategies that might help us get there. And then we sat down, and Mayor Adams appointed a stakeholder evaluation and implementation committee. We met monthly with members of community groups, of labor unions, with contractors, with job trainers, with representatives from agencies, procurement services, BPS, Energy Trust, WSI. We worked really hard, not only to not just walk away from a policy passed, but to make sure every day that we were looking at what was happening, we were improving it, we were making adjustments, and making sure that we were actually achieving the outcomes that we intended to achieve when we passed the policy in the first place and set up the organization. The second point is related to the first, and it's that data is absolutely critical. And you, as you've talked about earlier today here, you know, all of the policies and the strategies that you put together only matter to the extent that they produce outcomes at the end of the day. And we've done a lot of hard work to actually track the data and keep our eyes focused on who's getting the contracts, which businesses are growing, which workers are finding living wage jobs in this effort, and how is it strengthening our regional economy. And that's been the guiding light for us, and everything else is just a way to get there. Thanks for the opportunity to present.
Thank
you. Jane. All right, thank you, Commissioner and Mayor. Again, my name is John Gardner. I'm the Director of Business Services for Work Systems, Inc. In that capacity, I have the honor to focus on the construction industry, which allows me to staff an organization called CAUSE, Construction Apprenticeship and Workforce Solution. So CAUSE has been working as a stakeholder group focused on increasing the participation of women and people of color in the trades. So it's exciting to sit next to Jeremy here and think about how Clean Energy Works has been a proof of concept of the model of setting goals and meeting those goals through public-private participation. Specific to the work of the Disparity Forum, I had the honor of serving with Kevin Cady from Hoffman Construction and co-chairing the Workforce Committee. And our charge was to look at the city's current workforce training and hiring program and look at ways to strengthen and expand that program. Now, we couldn't do it alone, but the city sort of organized a terrific ensemble of many other municipal partners. We had Portland Housing Bureau, City of Portland staff, PDC, Home Forward, the Columbia Pacific Building Trades were part of the committee, the carpenters were part of the committee. Obviously, we had a few construction companies as well. And we began a six-month meeting and work group process to really look through the current standing of the program. We looked through performance, we conducted stakeholder interviews, and actually did about a 200 contractor survey to hear about what was working within the program and what wasn't working. Now, workforce was not one of the targeted areas of the original disparity study. But because of information that we saw through BOLI reports that over 75% of women or people of color entering into registered apprenticeship were failing, and that our workforce in the construction industry was not keeping pace with our general population demographics, it made perfect sense to use this opportunity to look at ways of strengthening that program. So over the course of the 6 months, we were able to develop recommendations for the city to consider under program goals, program operations, and just overall program considerations. We feel very excited at what this resolution represents in terms of a first step around ensuring that construction pathways in our region are more inclusive and open to those historically underrepresented and at times not allowed to succeed and move forward. We think that a qualified apprentice turns into a qualified journey-level worker that can then turn into a qualified and competitive business owner. So this is all cyclical and part of the process. We also believe that although this resolution is a good first step, it is just the beginning step of what we hope is a formal community benefits approach to public contracting moving forward. Having said all that, it's a great first step, and it speaks well to the mission of CAUSE and many other community-based organizations, regional pre-apprenticeship programs, and stakeholders who have been looking for formal leadership in this way for many years. So thank you.
Thanks for your great work.
All right. Mayor, good afternoon. Commissioner, good afternoon. My name is Jorge Guerra, President for the Oregon Association of Minority Entrepreneurs, OAMI. And OAMI has been around over 25 years, and we have been keeping providing support services to minority women and many small businesses. And currently, we have one of the largest contractors, architects, engineers, committee meetings, and monthly we meet and we see what's going on with the, in the industry, how they perform and how who is getting contracts, who is not getting contracts. OAMI, we work in a partnership with the educational sector, private sector, and the public sector. And I can say that for me to be participating in the Fair Contracting Forum was a privilege, and being able to count the input and see how in the industry we're trying to work better, how to do and have better opportunities for the contractors. On behalf of the OAMI Chairman of the Board, Sam Brooks, and also the OAMI members, which I see here we have currently, a lot of the OAMI members are present currently, really is satisfactory for me to see that, that the support is not just for an organization, but it's also into a project that we have. We want to support and recommend the social equity contracting resolution. The approval of this resolution will enhance the participation of minority women and very small businesses. So that's the emphasis that we want to do that. Just let's keep going and working together so we can have better results for the city.
Thank you. Thank you as well for your participation in this. Thank you all. We're going to have three speakers talk about the Minority Evaluator Program, and then the last invited testifier will be Dante James. So Roy J., Kate Simmons, and Neil Lee. Is there anything you want to say? Okay. Hi, welcome, Mr. Roy J. Mr. J., would you like to begin?
Ladies first.
All right.
Kate?
Not on this panel.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Kate Simmons. I am a personal financial advisor at a firm here downtown, and I've lived in Portland since 1995. I'm a transplant from a very small community in northern Canada, and I moved here with my young daughter because I wanted to live in a community where diversity was embraced and inclusion was a lifestyle. And while I believe we have, you know, we're still a work in progress, I do think that Portland is that city. When I was asked to participate in the Minority Evaluator Program, I had no idea what I was getting into. I hadn't yet combed through responses, resumes, and references from companies around the country who were looking to do business with our city, and hadn't worked on trying to distinguish potential from ability, and most importantly, I hadn't yet worked to try to find new ways to create accountability for diversity and inclusion in industries like mine that really don't have that as their legacy. Since working with the program, I have done all of those things and much, much more. I've been learning about the city's goals and the steps that have been taken to achieve those goals. I have been included in many conversations and seen the dedication of the staff and volunteers who work on the programs. I've had the opportunity to speak with members of the community about the procurement and contract award process. And, you know, there are a lot of people who are curious about how it works and who have not yet participated, so it's been an interesting process. I do plan to contribute, to continue contributing my time in support of the program. It's my belief that by doing so, I support equity in this process, and I just want to thank those who created and support the process, all of you commissioners, Mayor Adams, Roy J., Tiffany, always in the community, and for everyone who continues to try to work to make Portland a better place and a place that we can all be proud to call home, I thank you very much. Your efforts are much appreciated.
Thank you very much. Sir?
Yeah, my name is Neil Lee. I am a born and raised here in Portland, so I am a pure Portlander. thank you for having me here today. I'm very honored to be in to speak in front of you. My firm is also, the name of my firm is Lika Architecture and Planning. I am an architect. I have my own small business. It's a minority business. I intend to grow it. And hopefully with these programs, it should help. I was involved with the Minority Evaluator Program for probably a couple of years now. I've done a number of reviews with proposals, and it's you know, I've been involved with that, and You know, I believe in bringing individuals. Put that aside. I've done this program, and there's some positive things about it. One is being inclusive, and bringing outside entities alongside with the city individuals to review these programs. It makes it more equitable and fair. On my personal side, as a business owner, I also like we said before, is that I get to see the inside how these proposals are being viewed, how they're being scored, and how they're written, and that is a plus for me because I personally go after these proposals on the other side of the table. So with that understanding from the other side, I'm able to understand how to write a better proposal. And the other positive impact on that is that, at being there, it's also a networking and PR thing. I meet these project managers at the city. I meet the fellow reviewers, and I find a synergy with that, and it's positive for opportunity. So I guess in retrospect, I would say that I'd like to have that keep going, and I really endorse it.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Lee was also involved with the professional services work group and had been a member bringing forward the recommendations that I presented to you a little while ago.
I know it's a big time commitment, depending on what contract you're working on, so underscore our thanks for your willingness to volunteer your time. Thanks. Mr. Roy J.
Mr. Mayor and Council, this is exactly what he said. This is the whole purpose of this Minority Evaluators Program. Remember when we started this in 2009? A small idea, and these two commissioners are up at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, and we were collaborating back and forth, and everybody else got on board, and some folks said it's not going to work.
Separately.
Huh?
Separately.
Separately?
That clear.
I thought I felt your toes.
For the record, I want
okay,
to make sure.
Okay. Oh, we're on camera. Okay.
Two different email addresses.
Yeah, that's a different email. You know, Randy's on medication, but forgive him, you know. So anyhow, you know, we've came a long way, and I just really want to give credit where credit is really due. I mean, it could have been a great idea when it first started, but without a good team coming forward and the commissioner stepping forward and all this late-night collaboration, but it was actually the work of Christine and especially Tiffany, who hit the ground running, and, you know, all the folks that you gave us to help participate, and also the fact that people like Mr. Lee and everybody else is probably sitting behind me that's sitting on one of these panels at some particular time is what's made this a great program. You know, this is just the beginning. We've got 370 people. We're hoping to have 500 before the end of the year, but we built it, and it started to grow. We still maintain the database and everything else, and I think it's very proprietary that folks understand that, you know, this is like jury duty. And a lot of people are spending their time to come for three days, 3 hours, or whatever it takes. And some of them are just being able to evaluate it from home. But the whole purpose behind this was not only just to have a person, at least one person of color, but at the same time, that those people, like Mr. Lee is saying, he has a chance to see successful proposals, and it sharpens his skills for him to be able to be competitive instead of going home trying to figure out, why did I lose this contract? I'm using the same old template over and over and over again. So thank you. It's working, and let's move on to a better Portland.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you, Reggie.
There you go.
I would like to underscore thanks to not only Christine on this, but also Tiffany.
Tiffany.
Who's just done a great job. Thank you, Tiffany. Thank you. Our last invited speaker will be Director Dante James. How many people are signed up, Carla?
We have 5 people left.
I thought you couldn't applaud in this. In
no. Only when the mayor says you can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Again, my name is Dante James. I'm the director of the Office of Equity and Human Rights, and I appreciate the opportunity to come in and provide some comments and support for what the Office of Procurement has put together. The proposal you have before you is a proposal that allows for continued flexibility and growth and improvement. And I've been in numerous meetings with Christine and Brian Inge on how to really think outside the box and make improvements. And I must commend them for their desire and their willingness to, I guess, put up with me and my thinking outside the box and offering alternative suggestions and new ideas and maybe old ideas thought about differently. You know, it's a difficult job. When I did this in Denver, I used to tell the mayor he owed me hazardous duty pay because nobody was ever happy with how I was doing this. Either it was too much or it was not enough. And so trying to find that balance and work well with communities and work well with the contractors and work well within the confines of legal issues and concerns, it's a difficult job. And I believe that we are continuing to move and work on behalf of improving the numbers, which is what we're talking about, improving the ability to get contracts and dollars to minority women-owned businesses and grow them and grow this program. And so the Minority Evaluator Program, I think, is an excellent opportunity. I think that the opportunity to utilize the alternative contracting method more where there are more selection panels is a great opportunity to increase those numbers. So just as something maybe that may come down before you instead of just purely low bid for some contracts. So anyway, I just am here, and I appreciate the work that they are doing and the difficulty of doing that job. So thank you.
Thank you, Director. All right, we'll go to our folks that have signed up.
First three, please come on up, are Melvin Odin Orr, Steve Dukart, and James Posey.
We have four slots.
I was going to put the other two together, but...
Okay, you don't want them to be lonely.
Crowd them.
Good thinking. Mr. Orr?
Mr. Mayor?
Welcome back.
Thank you, always a pleasure.
Would you like to begin?
I will. Mr. Mayor, councilpersons, thank you for this time. I'm here on Melvin Odin Orr, council on behalf of NAMAC Oregon. Just wanted to make a few comments. We wanted to support, well, the comments are specifically directed towards the new contracting program. First, I wanted to say how hard that the people in procurement, Christine Moody and her staff, have been working with Fair Contracting Forum, which I've been involved with over the year in making these and coming up with these recommendations. But I just wanted to take a moment and remind you of a very short story of how we got here, the short version. Last year, you may recall the auditor's report related to the sheltered market program. One of the things that the auditor pointed out was that the origin of the sheltered market program was related to the 1995 disparity study, and that ordinance originally suggested that the purpose of that program was to address and rectify the disparities for minorities and women. Fast forward, last year we had the disparity study that came out that talked about, in the absence of city efforts, that there continues to be a disparity for minorities and women. What I want to say on behalf of NAMAC Oregon is that to the greatest extent possible, to ask the council and procurement to heed the words of the auditor, to heed the words from the disparity study preparers, even though we've questioned the completeness and accuracy of the disparity study. Nevertheless, one thing that they pointed out was that the city should consider implementing a program that's focused on minorities and women. And so we would encourage you in that effort. And I think that's all we wanted to say.
Thank you, sir. Hi, welcome.
Hi, my name is Steve Dukart. Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. I'd like to ask permission for a few of my fellow NUCA members to come stand behind me as I speak to you today. Is that okay?
No.
No? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Anyway, like I said, my name is Steve Dukart. I'm the chapter president of NUCA of Oregon and Southwest Washington. NUCA members, including Roy Moore with Moore Excavation, perform a great deal of the city's utility work. We are proud to provide quality work that maintains and improves the standard of the environment and life in Portland at competitive prices. NUCCA would like to thank you and the city staff for all the hard work on equity and contracting, from commissioning, developing, and publishing the most recent disparity report, to considering appropriate ways to address the disparities found in the disparity report, through preparing and presenting today's resolution. We would also like to thank you and the city for all the opportunities the public has had to be involved in the process. I've been honored to participate on the as co-chair on the new construction program, the small business construction program. NUCCA's executive director, Melinda Daly, past president John Calcoven, and board member Matt Warrington have all been honored to participate on the Fair Contracting Forum and the subcommittees for good faith efforts and pre-qualification program, respectively. NUCCA wants to thank all the other Fair Contracting Forum and subcommittee participants for their hard work as well. We know that the process does not end here with today's resolution. In fact, the city staff will have a great deal of hard work to do to implement today's resolution with concrete and substantive programs that appropriately ensure equity in contracting. NUCCA is particularly pleased to see that the resolution before you today calls for continued fair contracting forum participation in the process of implementing what today's resolution orders. NUCCA and its representatives are looking forward to continue in the participation in the process. We are certain that together, NUCCA, the city staff, and other stakeholders can implement today's resolution with concrete, substantive programs that ensure equity, maintain quality, and keep costs to the city's ratepayers at a minimum. That is our hope and expectation. Based on that hope and expectation, NUCCA supports today's resolution. Thank you.
Thanks for your testimony. You can ask your members to raise their hands. You can see who you are. Thanks for being here. Security won't let me do what you asked.
All right. No problem.
Thanks for your testimony. Mr. Posey, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor and other city commissioners. I'll try to be as brief as I possibly can. I just want to call your attention to a couple of things. I was not privy to the referendum or had any participation really in the design and or contribution to how this document came about. But I'm one of those folk who have the benefit of history. And looking at this meeting today, I went back and looked at some of the letters from the old NAMCO going 1996 to Mayor Katz, et cetera, the previous disparity study. And I looked at the current referendum proposal, and there's some constants. One is the focus on this document that you all are presenting is focused on the minority contractors as being the problem. The training, the tiers, and all this stuff, the focus has really always been that minority contractors, the problem and why we don't have more minority contractors is minority contractors, as opposed to all of the non-minority folk who get these million dollars worth of contracts every year, and their accountability in terms of how they include people in their workforces and their programs. So the focus has been always trying to minimize the people who have the resources to really do something and focus the blame as it is, on the minority contractors. There's intervals. I looked at the intervals on this particular program, and it's always annual. You're going to review the program annually, and in these political cycles, some of you will be elected and reelected, and if there's a continuing problem, then it'll be in someone else's administration. You won't have to deal with it by looking at these programs critically annually, and I've watched this over the last 15, 20 years of how we want to just like slow roll these programs and really not take care of them and really hold people accountable rapidly and successfully ongoing. And excuse me, I got my notes on my little iPad. Aren't these iPads wonderful? The other quick thing is compliance. I noticed there was not nary a word about compliance. No policemen on the ground. No one really looking at this in a critical way. There's no community participation in terms of ongoing. You know, I was listening to Nuka and all those other folk, you know, talk about their success in the programs, but really when you look at it, you'll find that there's no compliance, there's no real attention to that. And then finally, I see the buzzer going off. It's profitability. Everybody's going around patting everybody on the back. But at the end of the day, minority contractors and this proposal is not going to work toward making sure the minority contractors have any profitability. We're into this.
So your time's up, sir.
Social programs. It's about making some money and being
successful.
Thank you
for your testimony.
Thank you very much.
Sir, I have a question, Mr. Posey. Do you, in your opinion, does this resolution move us forward, take us back, or leave us in the same place?
Well, honestly, I think we're repeating the history. As I said before, I've been here since 1997, and there's little tweaks here and there. But at the end of the day, there's not very much here substantially. I'll be right candid with you. I know a lot of people disagree with me, but you know that's my opinion.
I wanted to know your opinion. Thank you very much.
The next two.
Art Maurice Raming and Tony Jones.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I'm Tony Jones. I'm the Executive Director of Metropolitan Contractor Improvement Partnership. Our mission is to provide business capacity building focused on historically underutilized businesses to help them grow their businesses, make a profit, and to provide, you know, strong contractors for the industry. As a director of MCIP, I do not support the resolution for one specific reason. And the specific reason is that the disparity study pointed out that discrimination still does exist in the city of Portland and in the contracting community, and that it has an impact on the availability and utilization of contractors. Yet the resolution does not speak specifically to an overall citywide goal for MBEWE participation. That is really what is needed to set the clear message throughout our city that we are serious about really addressing race and gender equity. We cannot address it if we do not set race and gender specific goals. Good faith effort, race and gender neutral goals do not get us there because we have ducked it for many years. I can see what can happen. We will identify to certain projects. We can't do it because the scope, they're not minority or women contracts, can do XYZ, so that contract gets exempt. And there's a lot of reasons that certain contracts will be exempt because we believe that there's no capacity in the community to do that work. Unless we set clear goals across the board that every bureau, every project, we need to look closely and carefully about how we can have that participation, in particular at a prime contracting level, and setting that as a goal, that's what we will need to continue to move forward. The reason why Clean Energy Works did have a success, because it did set that goal initially from the beginning of their 20%. Minority women contractor participation in their women and their minority women workforce goals. That set the standard from the beginning that everybody on the team knew what they were shooting for, what they're striving for. Still right now, that is not clear through this resolution. So I believe that the economic and the race and gender inequity that's faced in this community should be driving the resolution. And then we should be using our legal resources to support that resolution and not be driven by the fact that we're concerned about a lawsuit not having race and gender hard specific goals for minority and women participation. Thank you.
So when you say goals, do you mean set-asides?
If you want to call set-asides, fine. I mean, I know that there are legal issues, and I believe that you could maybe even set a citywide aspirational goal or target that you could go, that you could work toward.
So when it says here the 27% aspirational goal.
But that's for workforce. I'm talking about on the contracting side.
Okay. And
I don't understand the difference.
The difference is on the workforce side, that's for workers. That's for minority and women, apprentices and pre-apprentices, making sure they're on the job. I'm talking about for contracting dollars on the contracting side.
So on the contracting side, we'll have Christine come up and explain, but the group work through and to be able to set that for every single project is the requirement, as opposed to
for a specific percentage, overall percentage from the contracting side? I didn't see that in the resolution.
Yeah, and it was part of her presentation. Maybe, were you here for her presentation?
I was here for most of it, and I read the resolution. I didn't see
that. We'll have her come up and reiterate that again.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for your comments. Appreciate it. Mr. Remick.
Hi, thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Commissioners, for having me here. And thanks for the courageous conversation. A little backup on me, Maurice Romming, president of O'Neill Electric. We've been in business for over 14 years, done over $10 million annual sales, have over 60 employees currently, and we currently are based in the city of Portland, southeast Portland. Equity to me means closing the gap. The disparity study identified that only less than 1% of the dollars that the city spent in procurement for contracting went to all minorities. The actual number is 0.6%. And there were some ethnicities that actually had zero over the study period, so they didn't even have one contract, or if they did, it was so minuscule that it didn't register on the disparity study. One of the things that I'd like to see that we continue to keep the focus in on is having those clear outcomes, whether or not you're going to set annual benchmarks and whether or not you're going to make the boroughs have monthly reporting back to this body so that we can then track the results or the lack of results, however it is, whatever it turns out, so that we can make clear midstream decision changes. That's one of the things that Clean Energy Works was able to do, is able to look at what was going on not only a weekly basis, but on a monthly basis, and make those corrective changes that are needed to make sure that everyone's included and participating in the program that wishes to. I think the other thing that the city might want to also consider with the fair contracting form is to make sure that there's more minority contractors participating in the program, not just people of color. I think the contractors are the ones that are most affected by the decisions that are made by this body, and so therefore making sure that they actually have a voice in the fair contracting form, that they're overrepresented in one sense so that you can have a clear hearing of their voice so it's not gone silent. And I feel like that'll also help to increase the utilization numbers. The other and one of the last things that I have is, as a minority contractor, what I would like to see is for minority contractors having access to the programs. No program should be excluded from minority contractors by a select group or a select body choosing whether or not we can participate and saying you're in, you're out, but yet saying, you know what, we welcome all minority contractors that either have the insurance, the licenses, and the bonding capable of being able to do the work, being able to participate. We're not looking for a handout. What we're looking for is the opportunities to bid. And if we have the opportunities to bid, I feel like these numbers will increase. And so to look at programs and having those opportunities and also having the opportunity to bid, that is all we're asking for, is the opportunity to bid. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for serving on the Clerk Contracting and Employment Forum. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
So, Maurice.
Well, hold on.
You said something about the Fair Contracting Forum did not have sufficient minority prime contractors? Is that what you said?
I think the Fair Contracting Forum has a lot of social equity groups that I think are very crucial to the city. But the thing is, we're talking about contractors. We're talking about the minority contractors that are most affected. You would think that the majority of those people that are in that room are minority contractors, so the results and the information that you're receiving are from the people that have boots on the ground, so to speak, so that you know that this is what we're feeling, this is what we're going through on the ground, not just saying, okay, well, what do these groups think that those people are thinking?
And so you're saying presently the minority contractors, the boots on the ground, so to speak, are not sufficiently represented?
That's correct. I would say that the representation is extremely limited and narrow, and it's there's one person that's on the Fair Contracting Forum that doesn't even live in the state anymore. I mean, thank you.
I have the same question. Do you think this is a step forward, a step back, or doesn't move us at all?
I think that it's up to the council and the mayor right now. I think that if you monitor it and you look at it and say, okay, where are we a month from now? Where are we 2 months from now? Is this an inclusionary process? I think that it can be a step forward and or can be another restriction that pushes us back. It depends on what follows